This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. On Tuesday's West Virginia Morning, health reporter Carol Lofton reported on West Virginians who are struggling with high deductibles that come with plans they bought through the Affordable Care Act, or ACA. Deductibles are what a consumer has to pay before their insurance kicks in. That story elicited quite a bit of feedback from our listeners, so today, Kara talks with Renetta Poor, chairwoman of the West Virginia Medicaid Coalition, about some of the ways the ACA is affecting West Virginians.
So you are a Medicaid expert. With the increase in insured West Virginians, how does that affect everyone else who bought insurance through the Affordable Care Act?
Well, there are more people insured in West Virginia now than ever before, and maybe about 100,000 are still uninsured, whereas before we had 300,000 uninsured. So those 300,000 uninsured people, when they got sick and went to the hospital and they couldn't afford to pay for their coverage, the cost of their care was passed on to other people, policyholders. In fact, West Virginia Blue Cross Blue Shield, the Highmark Corporation, told us that the cost of the uninsured added $1,000 a year to every policy that they sold.
Expanding coverage has meant that more people, very sick people, are covered. This is a good thing, but the money has got to come from somewhere. My understanding is that the hope was that young, healthy people would buy insurance, evening out that pool, but that hasn't necessarily been the case, especially with a state like West Virginia that's pretty sick and old. How has West Virginia's population base affected the people who have to buy insurance through the marketplace?
So West Virginia does have a sicker and older population than many other states. The problem with health insurance coverage in a small state like West Virginia is that the number of people who get the coverage is not large enough to really make up for those people who are more expensive, sicker, and older. So we have 37,000 people in the marketplace. In California, they have millions of people in the marketplace. So in California, if 10 people are really sick and high cost, that's not going to affect their market very much. In West Virginia, if we have 10 people who are really sick, that's going to affect the market a lot.
High deductible plans were not uncommon in West Virginia, even before the ACA was passed. For those of you who don't know, deductibles are what the consumer has to pay before insurance kicks in. How have high deductible plans changed since the ACA took effect?
So it's true that healthcare costs have been rising every year for the past 30 years. Insurance costs keep going up. Employers and insurance companies try to deal with rising healthcare costs by increasing the deductibles. And the deductibles under the Affordable Care Act are very high, and we need to do something about it. But here's the other thing that people need to realize. To buy a health insurance policy before the Affordable Care Act, if you were an individual, if you had a health problem, such as diabetes, you probably could not buy a policy. No one would sell you a policy. Or they would sell you a policy that would cover everything except your diabetes. So the health insurance companies could pick and choose who they wanted to insure, and they insured more healthy people. And that kept the costs down. Now they have to insure everybody who comes to their door, and that is increasing costs for them.
So with the Affordable Care Act, one of the tenets of the law is that some people, depending on their income, can receive financial assistance with their deductibles and premiums and copays. How does that work exactly?
So in the West Virginia marketplace, about 86% of the people who buy policy in that marketplace get some kind of financial assistance. And the financial assistance varies depending on people's income. So very low-income people get very hefty financial assistance, whereas higher income people get smaller financial assistance. So I think the problem, we're doing a really good job insuring low income people. It's the middle class, people making more than $50,000, $60,000 a year that have to bear the full cost, that are really feeling the squeeze of the current marketplace.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Okay.
That was Renetta Poor, chair of the West Virginia Medicaid Coalition, speaking with Appalachia Health News reporter Kara Lofton. Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedum Foundation. Officials from the Appalachian Regional Commission and the United States Economic Development Administration visited Huntington yesterday to announce millions of dollars in funding for Appalachian communities struggling with the effects of coal's decline. Clark Davis reports.
The funding, $38.8 million in total, was awarded to 29 projects throughout Appalachia to stimulate economies in coal communities. The money was awarded through an application process. The awards were made as part of President Barack Obama's Partnerships for Opportunity and Workforce and Economic Revitalization, or the POWER Initiative. The initiative is a multi-agency effort to pair federal economic and workforce development resources to communities and workers who have been affected by job losses in coal mining and coal power plant operations. The day started with a roundtable at the Coalfield Development Corporation in Huntington to discuss what these communities need. Among the wishes were improved infrastructure that included broadband and improved roadways, allowing for more access.
People from the tech sector and someone that is not a millennial but aging talent and have been involved in young professionals.
The financial awards were announced later in the Central City neighborhood of Huntington.
The POWER Initiative was designed to help facilitate the transition for communities that are undergoing economic upheaval as it relates to...
Jay Williams is the U.S. Assistant Secretary of Commerce and Economic Development.
To have an opportunity to work on behalf of the president, on behalf of this administration, to help bring resources to help those communities transition is an honor. It's inspiring. And again, the federal government in and of itself isn't going to be enough. It's really the local stakeholders, the local collaboration that makes this successful. So just to be a small part of that, I feel at home and I'm inspired and excited about what we're seeing here on the ground.
West Virginia had 13 different programs receive money, the most of any state. Governor L. Ray Tomlin says the grants can give the state a shot in the arm.
Lots of very worthwhile projects, from water systems in Mercer County to the money to study the feasibility of the Hobet development site in Boone and Lincoln counties. There's lots of training programs teaching people how to be entrepreneurs, helping them get up and get in businesses. So it's going to be a start of a great thing for West Virginia.
Among the programs to receive funds were the Coalfield Development Corporation in West Virginia and the University of Pikeville in Kentucky for its Kentucky College of Optometry program. The Leveraging Innovation Gateways and Hubs Toward Sustainability at Ohio University was one of the major award recipients in Ohio. According to a news release, the investments are anticipated to create or retain more than 3,400 jobs in agriculture, technology, entrepreneurship, manufacturing, and other sectors in Appalachia's coal-impacted communities. The Appalachian Regional Commission also says the awards have attracted an additional $66.9 million in leveraged investments from other public and private partners. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. It's 8:52. Chance of scattered rain and thunderstorms today, becoming partly sunny later in the day, highs in the 80s and low 90s. Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 60s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance. Putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
In today's society, we use text messaging for a variety of things, to chat with family and friends, to check in with a coworker, or to send a photo. But what about for academics? The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission has been a pioneer in helping to develop a national text message counseling program that helps first-time college students transition more easily into college life. This year, that program goes statewide. Liz McCormick has more.
Jada Kuhn is 18 years old and a 2016 graduate of Winfield High School in Putnam County. This fall is her first semester at Shepherd University, but she says she's not as nervous about college as maybe some of her peers. Why? Last fall, her high school encouraged her to sign up for a text message counseling program through the state's higher education system.
The text messaging service just seemed really convenient for me, and it didn't really seem like I had to put in any effort, and they would take care of what I needed to know.
The text messaging service is for high school seniors and works like this. Once a student signs up, their number is stored in a database with the Higher Education Policy Commission. Students receive automated reminders at various times of the year to make sure they have been applying to colleges, signed up for orientation with their school of choice, and of course, to apply for federal financial aid. During that student's first year of college, those reminders continue. But the automated system isn't actually fully automated. If a student texts back, he or she will more than likely hear from a real person at either the HEPC or their chosen university.
If I would respond to a text, they would respond back. So there was a time where I needed to know what kind of school supplies to get for college, because you feel like, okay, I need to get the same thing for high school, but you don't really know because you've never been here. So I sent and I asked what kind of school supplies I should get, and they sent a list of what I should buy for maybe my first week of college just to be a little prepared.
Shepherd University has between 300 and 400 students who are signed up for the text messaging service, but only one counselor at the university is assigned to respond to their questions and concerns. Julia Flacco is that counselor. She says at first she was hesitant about signing on to do the program, but she says the response blew her away.
I was really surprised at first because I was like, there's students who are really texting. Like, some students were talking about their fears, things they're nervous about, tips about time management. Like, I'm nervous about, can I get to class on time? How does an online class work? And I'm like, they're really like talking and opening up.
Flacco receives the students' text messages through an online system that works like email for her, but comes through like a text message for the students. Ben Castleman is an assistant professor of education and public policy at the University of Virginia. He's also the brain behind the National Text Messaging Program. Castleman started developing the project in 2012 as part of his graduate dissertation after noticing students benefited from some additional college counseling the summer after their senior year. Castleman spoke with West Virginia Public Broadcasting via Skype.
What we also found, though, is that counselors were having to spend a lot of time just getting in touch with students. You know, phone calls were going unanswered, emails would bounce back. Once they were able to connect, the students typically were very grateful for the interaction and the advice they got from the counselors.
West Virginia was one of the first states to work closely with Castleman on the initiative back in 2012. When the program began, the West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission texted about 900 students at 14 high schools. On the college level, only Concord, Bluefield, Marshall, and Southern West Virginia Community and Technical College were involved. Jessica Kennedy is the Director of Communications and Outreach at the HEPC and is in charge of the West Virginia text messaging program.
So that first year, we're just now starting to get the sort of evaluation completed from that first group. And we did see some really promising results in terms of students being more likely to persist if they receive the text messages. And they also did a little better academically than their peers who didn't receive the text messages. So we're hoping that we'll see that continue because we've expanded the program.
This year, all high schools in West Virginia are part of the program with 8 college partners. All in all, about 9,000 students have already signed up. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Shepherdstown.
For more information about the text message counseling program, visit our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Ashton Mara.